The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have made it to the final hour of the program. Don't forget tomorrow, Joe Lunardi, the bracketologist for ESPN, will join us with a look at where everybody stands now that we are heading into the final week and change of the college basketball regular season. Let's get back to your calls at 855-242-7285. Also, John Rice Plumlee joining us here in just a few minutes. And we are chatting next with Roger in Florida. Hey, Roger.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Love the show. Obviously, I'm a big Blue fan. Love Kentucky basketball. Absolutely live and breathe it. Calipari has gone to a seven-man rotation. In your opinion, is that the best thing to do? You had Cameron Fletcher, Lance Ware, and Dante Allen not seeing the light of day against Tennessee. They're on a three-game winning streak. A, do they have to win the SEC to get to the NCAA tournament? B, is a seven-man rotation, do you think, is the best thing for Kentucky to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give you a hackneyed answer here, but right now he has to do whatever has worked, and that's the only thing that's really worked. And I think the real question now is, do they have any room for error? And I don't think they do. You know, the schedule is tight in terms of what's ahead. And, I mean, even if they win out the next three games, I still don't think they're in a good enough position that they can get away with maybe get to Sunday of in Nashville. But even that would be highly risky, I think.
Do you see Calipari's approach has changed over the past three or four weeks on spreading the offense and allowing shooters to actually shoot instead of pounding the ball inside constantly like it was in the first 2 months of the season?
Yeah, I do agree. By the way, here's what's left for Kentucky. They have Florida at home, Ole Miss on the road, and South Carolina. So they can't lose any of those games, and I think they're in a pretty good spot to win those games. The Ole Miss game could be the trickiest of the bunch, but I like what he's doing, and I know how frustrating it's been. How has it been, if I may ask you a question, to be a Kentucky fan this year?
Oh, it's been absolutely brutal. You've got, stellar recruits coming in, and you see them absolutely not doing anything. Thank goodness that Isaiah Jackson has actually stepped up and now is a monster. He is a wreck. He is a force reckoned. You've got to deal with him some way or another. You have to deal with him. Brandon Boston now is hitting open shots. And that's why I think he spread the floor enough that his shooters can actually get an open shot. Before, if you watch the first probably 10 games of the season, everything was so compacted in the middle that everybody was there. All five guys were in the middle. So there was no room to do anything. Now, it seems to me at least that he is rotating people in and out of the middle to allow his shooters to have an open shot and people to drive the lane without there being two other Kentucky guys and three other defenders there to stop the actual shot from going up.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Roger. Appreciate it. Avery is up next in Arkansas. Avery, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Woo-pick Suey. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. It's good to be on.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to thank you. I just wanted to talk to you about what Musselman is doing with our program and just how exciting it is to be a Razorback fan for the first time in a long time, because we hadn't beat Kentucky since 2014. The last time was in Rupp Arena, and they're doing good things now. I don't care if we beat them on their worst day. To beat them when we haven't is just such a blessing. And then on top of that, Florida, the next game, we were able to handle them and We just continue to roll, and then Alabama last night. I don't know. I keep seeing all this stuff about Bama fans crying. I don't know if there was bad officiating or anything, but from what I saw, it just looked like the Razorbacks were owning the game.
Yeah, Avery, I laugh every time fan bases, you know, get hung up on officiating. I think sometimes there is, when there is one call, and I'll say the Arkansas-Auburn game is the poster child in football.
Oh, thank you.
You could have a conversation about it, and that was not the only game, but there were two other games where there were issues. But in basketball, you can't. Even if there's a preponderance of evidence on your side, and you can say, okay, this one official called 70% of the foul, it still doesn't matter. Arkansas outplayed Alabama last night. Let it go.
Yes, sir. And the fouls, I mean, the fouls were ridiculous. I mean, the amount of calls.
Oh, yeah, they ruined the game.
Compared to a normal game, but it went both ways, so I don't know how anyone from Alabama could make a stake that it was in Arkansas's favor. But regardless of the Alabama talk and all of that, I respect Alabama in basketball, you know, every sport. But to just put some praise on Arkansas, because I've been a fan my whole life, and I've never felt kind of the way I do today. I was driving to work, and I heard a local radio station saying Arkansas golf men and women's track, men and women's cross country, men and women's swimming and diving, men and women's baseball, softball, basketball, men and women's, we are all ranked. And it has been a long time since a Arkansas fan could feel that proud. So I feel good to be a Hog. Woo Pig Suey.
Well, thank you, Avery. It has been an amazing night listening to all of the Arkansas fans. David is up next. How are you, David?
Fine, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just wanted to say I love your show. I've been watching it a long time.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. And I just want to say Arkansas outplayed Alabama last night. I'm a big Alabama fan, and I'm not whining, making excuses, or anything like that. Alabama's had a real good year. I think people ought to be happy about that. I personally am still celebrating 2009, 2011, 12, 15, 17, and January 11th of 2021. So I got a lot to be thankful for.
Well, I think, David, that is a very healthy and appropriate way of looking at it. I think it's always a good sign when fans 20 hours later are still complaining about an Alabama basketball loss, because you and I both know there were years when Alabama fans didn't even care what the record was. It was so uninteresting.
Right. Well, I don't understand all these people calling in saying the Alabama fans are whining and making excuses. They may be, but I don't see it that way.
It's really great to hear from you. Thank you very much. We have to run to a break because we have a very special guest coming up here. He has been here before. We had a fantastic conversation with him about a year and a half ago. John Rice Plumlee, who is one of the stars of the number one ranked Ole Miss baseball team, also plays a little quarterback in football.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This, 100%. Are you kidding me? Like, look around. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Where you play the Super Bowl is pretty cool. I mean, you can't. Trying to make that sound bad, but this is just that cool. I mean, I think it's one thing to see it on TV and stuff, but to actually stand in it, be able to look around, see all the, I mean, however many billboards are in here, see how high the decks go up, how high the ceiling is, be snowing outside, but we're sweating in here because of the heater. I mean, it's freaking sweet. What more can you ask for?
And we welcome you back. We've been looking at some video of our next guest, John Rice Plumley, in Texas over the weekend, playing baseball while the state was trying to come out of one of the worst stretches of weather it's ever had. John, thank you for rejoining us. We've had you on before, and it was always fun. How are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be back. Had a great time last time, and happy to be on again.
Yeah, you had a comment the last time. I think it was about Tua, the time we had you on, that was one of the most memorable conversations we had all year. And let's start with baseball, because you're only one of the top players on the number one team in the country. That has to feel pretty nice, doesn't it?
It's a pretty cool feeling, you know, to be a role player on one of those really, really good teams. You know, football is definitely working its way up there, but baseball, as of right now, sitting in the number one seed, it's a pretty cool feeling to have that excitement, you know, in Oxford.
Let's talk about last weekend, because I mean, I was horrified watching the weather from Texas. You were there. Describe that experience. I mean, the baseball was great, but how did all the teams, there were a bunch of teams out there playing in a major tournament. How did you guys deal with the environment?
The stadium was just immaculate. I said it in a video that was recorded. It's the coolest stadium that I've ever played in, football, baseball. It was just an amazing experience, you know. But as for the snow, I'm a South Mississippi kid, so I don't really get to see it a whole lot. And if it is anything, it's just in small bits and pieces. And so all the teams that are out there, Mississippi State, Arkansas, TCU, Texas, and Texas Tech, all South school teams. And so I don't really think we were really used to the ice and the snow. But thankfully, the dome, as nice as it is covered up, and it was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, the state, it was a national emergency for so many people in the state. Let's talk about this baseball team, and then we do want to mosey our way back to football and your head coach. But I know it's the first time in a long time. It's also the first weekend, and as excited as Ole Miss fans are, you have to be realistic. But just talk about the cohesion of this group, which last year played a couple of weeks and then saw the season crash and burn like everything else.
Yeah, that was it was a heartbreaking end to the amazing season that we were having, you know, going running off, I think, something like 16 or 17 straight there at the end. And then it was heartbreaking for sure. You know, I think one of the things that really separates Ole Miss from every other team, it seems to be, as everybody says, we're having a lot of fun, which we are. But I think that's how the game's supposed to be played, and I think we play it the right way. But I think we're 20 wins straight or something like that, and I think we're really excited, you know, for this weekend coming up, UCF at home, and the weeks to come, about all the opportunities that this team is going to have, hopefully, on the trek to Omaha.
Yeah, being on the number one baseball team in the country, you know, has its rewards, but you're also a football player. So, and with spring ball starting, how does that work out? I realize you have to play baseball.
Yeah, so I haven't really had that conversation yet. I'm sure Coach Bianco and Coach Kiffin have done some talking about that or how that's going to work. But as of right now, I think I'm all baseball. Haven't really. I'll come over here like today. I came over. We're starting our off-season work, which we call it fourth quarter, and I came over and while they were doing stations, I got to sit around and watch them and cheer them on a little bit. But as physically doing things, I'll probably be all physically over at baseball. Maybe come over for some meetings during football. But like I said, I haven't had that conversation and don't know that information yet. But probably will soon know.
Let's talk about Lane Kiffin for a second. He's your head coach in football, obviously. But I know you two have developed quite a unique relationship, or at least that's what I've been told. So tell us exactly what's happening between you and the head coach.
He's definitely one of the funniest head coaches that I've ever played for. You know, I think the relationship that we have is kind of a funny one, you know, because Coach Kiffin isn't really an extrovert in person. On social media, he loves to tweet and have a lot of fun on social media, which he's hilarious on. But when it comes to being in person, he kind of keeps himself a whole lot. And so me, my personality is I kind of want to go and kind of crack his shell. And so the first couple of weeks, I kind of leaned on him a little bit, cracked some jokes at him. And now I think we have a pretty good relationship where we just kind of joke back and forth. And so I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
As you well know, I mean, you grew up in South Mississippi where football is pretty important. That is not your normal relationship, whether it's in high school or especially in college. I can think of a few SEC schools in various directions, more thinking toward the east from where you are, where I just cannot imagine the quarterback cracking jokes with the head football coach. How do you get away with it? Or is it just Lane Kiffin being Lane Kiffin?
I think it takes a little bit of both. I think that he's got to kind of be wanting to crack some jokes back. But I think you kind of start just by a couple jokes, you know, kind of leaning on him a little bit, you know, slap him on the butt when you go by. But as over the weeks progress, you can kind of get to know him a lot more than he gets to know me a lot more. And I think that's how it is with all coaches. You know, the more you get to know them, the more you get to show your personality around them, and they get to show their personality around you. And so I think that's what's been going on.
What was last football season like for you? Because it was an up and down run, but it just seemed like there were a couple of Ole Miss games that the Rebels let get away, and I'm not even talking about the Alabama game, but it did end well though.
Yeah. The last season, it was one that I had to patiently wait. You know, opportunities, they don't come a lot, and so patiently waiting my turn, and an opportunity showed up in the last bowl game at the wide receiver position, and so I decided to make the most of the opportunity and use the ability that God blessed me with and see what I could do, and it ended up being a whole lot of fun. You know, made some pretty big catches, a big drop too, so that was a good way to start it off, but I think I ended up pretty strong, so it was pretty good. But as a whole, I think we are going in the right direction. The momentum going into next season is really good. The culture around here is amazing. You know, everybody's really pumped up, and the atmosphere is amazing going into next season.
John, a couple more minutes here, but we talked about baseball and obviously football, but you know, there's so much more to you. I think we talked about your musical skills the last time. You're a very serious young man when you're not cracking jokes with the head coach. I know faith is very important. I know there's a lot to digest there, but you've given a lot of us who are significantly older a renewed level of confidence in young people. Talk about that part of your life.
I think I was raised up in a really good household. My parents, I'm really, really thankful for them. Going to church on every Sunday, every Wednesday night. My grandmother really is a big influence in my life. She played the piano for the church for, I think, over 25 years. And it's something that she instilled in all the grandkids, the musical side of it. But basically, the big thing, the big backbone of our family is faith. And it's something that I lean heavy on. In a tough year or a really good year, it's something that is ultimately consistent and something that I always fall back on, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
And not to put you too much on the spot there, but I know a lot of people do look to you, and you know, you do have quite a lot going on. But is this something that you know player your friends your fellow players will talk to you about? I know every program's got you know some faith built into it, but how do you communicate that with your friends?
I think it's something that it's really good to bring up in friendship conversations. You know, I think back to a bunch of conversations that I had with Elijah Moore last year. He's another guy that relies heavy on his faith, and I think that he's outspoken about it as well, and so that's why I spit his name out there first. But he's another guy that really, really relies on his faith aspect, and I think it through all the ups and downs that a season can bring, that football can bring, an injury or a big touchdown, you can go in both directions. But the consistency of Christ is never wavering. And so I think it's something that is always good to bring up in a friendship conversation. And most certainly you can have friends that don't think the same as you. But I always really, really like to bring up that aspect of it, make sure they know that they're loved by not only me, but something greater than me. And so I think it's really good to have friends that can hold you accountable in a sense, and friends that you are ministering to in the same way.
Thank you so much for sharing that, John. Please come back, and all the best this year in baseball. And we'll tell Coach Kiffin to communicate some things for you to do in football. You're always fantastic. All the best this spring.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. One of our favorite guests every time we talk. Anyway, we're scooting out here a little bit early today to make way for women's basketball. We'll continue on the radio. Don't forget SEC Now tonight at 6:30 and 11 p.m.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. Final 30 minutes on a late Thursday afternoon, early Thursday night. Yardbird is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. Hey, man. I'm calling about the Gamecocks, obviously, Yardbird. You know, we've been on a hot streak in baseball, even though we're playing lower teams. Or hopefully Clemson this weekend will go good. You think if Wes Clark keeps up at his current streak, he'll set the NCAA home run record?
How many does he have so far?
Six in four games.
And what's the record?
48, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, 48 and 75 games. The problem is this year they play 55, 56 games.
Yeah, I'm certainly not an expert at that, but I would say it's going to be extremely difficult. Hey, thanks for the call. Jamie is up next in Alabama. Hey, Jamie.
Good afternoon, Paul. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
I turned 50 this year. Maybe I'm just getting ornery in my old age, but I don't know if Alabama fans have bothered to look, but when you shoot 37% from the field, it's kind of hard to beat anybody, isn't
it's
it?
It's really tough. You know, Jamie, I think it's a really good sign that Bama basketball fans are taking themselves that seriously.
Yeah, I was gonna lead off asking, Alabama's got a basketball team, but in respect for Nate Oates, whom I think is a phenomenal coach.
Yes.
You know, obviously he's made a huge impact. But yeah, you can't shoot under 40% and beat too many teams. But what I want to talk about actually yesterday, and I'm glad I waited till today, college football playoff expansion. Paul, let me just ask. Let's just take this past season for ease of example. Teams 5 through 8, if we went to 8 teams, which of those 4 teams was going to beat one of the other 4 teams based on how they'd be seeded?
None of them. Here's what, and I agree with what you're saying, but the bad news of the playoff, if they ever agree to it, Jamie, they're not going to let the 8 best teams in. What they're going to do is you're going to get every Power 5 will have a representative just so you can get the commissioners to vote for it. And then you'll get a group of 5, and then there'll be 2 out large, I suppose, if my math is correct. 5-2, there'll be 1 out. There'll be 1 more after that.
And that one will be Notre Dame, which is why exactly the reason I don't want to see this thing expand, because we're doing 2 things here. One, we're coddling the group of 5, and no disrespect, Liberty and Coastal and Cincinnati, all you guys, you had great seasons. It was a great story. Love seeing teams that we don't normally get to see in a spotlight setting and give those kids exposure. I think that's tremendous. Don't get me wrong. But what's going to happen is you're going to have 4 or 5 teams that are going to buy a coach class ticket to a first class butt whooping when it gets on the field, and the outcome's not going to change. I know everybody's saying I'm tired of seeing Bama and Ohio State and Clemson and whoever, you know, the 4th redheaded stepchild that gets in is, and maybe A&M could have beaten, A&M would have played Notre Dame, and maybe they could have. I don't know. I think Notre Dame was a bad matchup for A&M's style of offense, but you know, the old anybody can beat anybody. Well, no, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt was handing out McDonaldland cookies left and right. There was no day in the calendar year that we were going to beat Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson. I mean, teams can have great seasons and go to a good bowl game. I mean, that's why they exist, to reward these kids. But people that think if we go to 8 or 12 or 16, 2 things. There's always going to be a number 17 or a number 13 team that says we should have been in, and we need to expand it even more. And there's still only going to be about 2 or 3 teams year in, year out that's going to have a shot at winning the title. So it all sounds good, and maybe eventually we'll see a format that can legitimately put, you know, but right now, anybody outside that top 4, they're basically a 15-16 seed in the NCAA basketball tournament just waiting to get a throttling. So I hope maybe people smarter than me can figure it out. But I just don't see it changing the landscape. We're still going to have, you know, maybe this year, because all 4 teams from last year's playoff, the quarterbacks are gone. So Cincinnati and some of you other guys, hey, maybe this is your shot. While everybody's trying to figure it out, go get it, because it may be your only shot for some time. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Hey, thank you very much, Jamie. Appreciate it, as always. Great to have you on. Gary is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Gary. Gary, you there? I will try another
call.
Yes,
Paul, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. You are now on.
Okay, I got a question. As you with that new, they added that SEC game on the first week in March to all the teams, and I kind of did a run and tally here, and some teams are playing 18 games, some are playing 17, and some are playing 16 total. How does that work out like that?
Yeah, and some aren't even playing. I mean, I think A&M right now only has 5 conference games. It's going to be there. Now, first, there is a limit. There's a number that you have to play to qualify for the NCAA tournament. Now, that committee is going to, I'm sure, weigh heavily on, I mean, you know, their strength of schedule. Now, I'm certainly not smart enough to be able to break down how the NCAA looks at it, but there's quads and there's all kinds of criterium. But ultimately, you know, those who don't who, you know, if you have significantly less games, you're going to be measured on the teams you've played and whether you've won or not.
Okay. So I'm not.
So in college basketball, I've heard a lot of coaches say, oh, you know, this is my seventh 20-win season. That used to matter back in the day, but that doesn't matter anymore. It matters who you've played, and that's why I know I can talk for the SEC. A couple of years ago, Commissioner Sankey, you know, put a real premium on upgrading the strength of schedule because that's how you get into the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, your conference play matters a lot too. It really does, but you have to play a good schedule in the preseason or at some point. Thank you for the call. Let's move along and check out Ron, who is up next. Hey, Ron, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
You should be getting more accolades than you do because you're the greatest of the greatest, okay?
Well, thank you.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, thanks.
I just got a go ahead, Paul.
No, I still remember that part of my career, Ron, where every call was "I hate you" and "I want you fired." So it's quite an adjustment for me to learn how to accept a compliment.
I don't get too many either, but I have one question. NCAA tournament. Which of your top two teams do you think will win all of it? And with that said, I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you.
Love you. Take care and good health, brother.
Thank you so much. Same to you, Ron. Right now, I'm really going with the most obvious two teams. If you follow college basketball, I watch college basketball because I've always been a fan, but I certainly rely on people that know what they're doing, and you know, people like Tim Brando, and we had Tim Doyle on the other day, and 40, and guys that really study the game more than I do, and I have heard from too many of them that Gonzaga is a team that is in another league. Baylor is not far behind. I think those are clearly the best two, and I also like. You know, take your pick, whether it's Illinois, Michigan, Ohio State. There's so many great teams in the Big Ten. I'm not selling short the SEC. I think Alabama's had a phenomenal year. There's some inconsistencies against quality opponents that has to be of concern if you're looking at a long run. Before the season, I love Tennessee. I'm holding on for dear life. There are moments when I really like Missouri. And then there are moments when I'm shaking my head. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Philip is up next. Hey, Philip, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
That game last night was, you know, I was proud of Alabama for fighting back at halftime and everything. I just think they got Arkansas got juiced up with all those fans out there and. But the officiating had to be messed up pretty bad in that game. The foul shot.
You know the thing I hate, Philip? I don't mind you know, officials calling it, but at some point, and this is something that I believe in every sport, you have to let the game play. You just cannot call every ticky-tack foul. And, you know, I mean, officiating to me – yeah, you're supposed to call what you see, but you're also supposed to set a tone in the game where if somebody mm-hmm. is doing something, you warn them, you know, whether it's in football or basketball, hey, listen, the next time you do that, you're getting flagged. And it just seemed like last night, and it was one guy in particular, I mean, it's just every mm-hmm. single – I mean, let the game play out.
I agree, Paul. It was there were calls where the guys would just take falls on Arkansas, and they would be moving on defense, and you're supposed to be set when you take a charge. But they were moving and they were calling charges because the guy would take a fall. And one of the things that really perturbed me about the game was there was either somebody that had a man crush on Musselman or something. Every time there was a stopping play, that camera went to Musselman. And at the end of the game, they even went to a referee.
I mean, it was. Yeah, I've never directed a. I've never directed anything. Let me make it clear. I'm on the other side, but yeah, it was Arkansas's night from start to finish, and Alabama certainly has been celebrated. I mean, Nate Oates has been the most talked about coach in the SEC this year, but he's now getting some competition from Eric Musselman.
Well, I just thought it was a really, really overboard, noticeably.
I understand. I mean, but
you know, they showed him in the locker room with his shirt off.
A lot of times when you're the home team, you're going to get the benefit and. But I'm talking about something I'm not really an expert on, but I'm just trying to explain. If you want to give us a ring before we go off the air, you can still do so. We have a little bit of time left at 855-242-7285, and let's go to Steve next in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
What's up, Paul? You there?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, I was calling. I was love listening to your show, but I was kind of wondering about Marcus Spears. He all right?
In fact, Marcus is doing great. He checked in with me the other day. Marcus is. After the 19 season, he moved on to the NFL, and he's doing the NFL live show every day in the afternoon on ESPN. He's obviously doing the morning stuff.
I understand all that. No, what I was talking about, though, no, I've been watching the show for a long time, but okay. I kind of miss him and Laura and everything. But well, you know, as far as him being on and stuff,
both of them have moved from college football to the NFL. So,
Marcus the NFL too.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
Booger McFarland. And
yeah,
all
they all.
That,
you know,
Marcus,
I'm about the last guy left because everyone has left me behind. But yeah, Laura hosts an NFL show that Marcus is on. Booger does a lot of Sunday work. I mean, the NFL is literally a 51 week a year gig.
No, I understand that now. Yeah, you're right, because I know he did do some NFL stuff. No, I just kind of miss him like a lot of people do.
Oh, no, listen, Marcus, I mean Marcus Spears really was like a brother to me. I don't even know how to describe my relationship with Laura. We were such good friends, and I miss them both very much. Hey, thank you for the call. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.